Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello.
And welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic religious exemption. It has been said that if you have a reason connected to your religious belief, be it organized, orthodox, or individual belief, or even if you're an atheist, right, you may receive a religious exemption from taking the vaccine. It's odd because if men were men of God, we wouldn't be holding this conversation. In fact, we wouldn't be in this predicament. Gainful function of a coronavirus, censoring life-saving alternative treatments, scapegoating the unvaccinated, misinformation, disinformation, lying, and you get my point. But here we are, in between a rock and a hard place. Our very lives threatened by a virus, a government, and Big Pharma. And they say our religious belief can shield us from two of these demons. We must understand that laws are created by and for the powerful ones to perpetuate their agenda. You can fact check that by asking yourself, what laws have you created, implicated, and perpetuated in your own interests? How many laws or mandates have you passed since the pandemic to perpetuate your interests and the interests of the people? That answer for many, if not most people, would be none, not one. I'm sure some of us would have liked to have created a law that protects their human right to decide if you want to risk being injected with genetically engineered information after being informed of the benefits and all risks of submitting to being injected with this genetic information. That's an informed client participant, right? Anyone in their right mind would want to rule out severe adverse effects of anything they were being encouraged or forced to be exposed to. But you cannot create such a law because you have no power to do so. And what power you think you have can be legislatively taken away. Your individual right has already been legislatively taken away, swept from under your feet. It has been narrowed down to a medical or religious reason and to hell with what you want, think, fear, or know. If you think that is appropriate, you belong in and to a system of tyranny and oppression. You right where you need to be at. Ask yourself, how can your vote count if you don't count? And you can ask yourself that every time you think about going to the polls. As my friend said, the real pimps and rapists are in government. I heard someone say that some people honestly believe that they are doing the right thing. Some are acting in fear of losing their source of income, and some are increasing their source of income and power. Religious exemption is just one door that can be shut in your face. It sounds like they're looking out, but they have already castrated you. So, Religion, dictionary.com, said a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, especially when considered as the creation of a superhuman agency or agencies, usually involving devotional and ritual observances, and often containing a moral code governing the conduct of human affairs. A specific fundamental set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons or sects. The Christian religion, for instance, or the Buddhist religion, right? The body of a person's adherence to a particular set of beliefs and practices. Religious is a relating to or believing in a religion. The essential meaning of religion from Webster's, it's a belief in a God, in a group of gods. Many people turn to religion for comfort in time of crisis, right? Oh, my God, right? An organized system of beliefs, ceremonies, and rules used to worship a God or a group of gods. There are many religions such as Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, Shinto is a religion that is unique to Japan, right? This informal, right, an interest, a belief, or an activity that is very important to a person or a group. So you don't have to be 100 of y'all. It could be just one. It could be a small group, right? Religious relates to or manifesting faithful devotion to an acknowledged ultimate reality or deity, a religious person, religious attitude, of relating to or devoted to religious beliefs or observances, right? So religion is a set of beliefs that a person lives by or uses as a guideline for life. Those beliefs may or may not be connected to an organized religion or a God, right? From the Harvard Crimson, the definition provided by Congress is equally vague. In the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Congress defines religion as a belief that must be sincerely held and within the believer's own scheme of things, religious. So basically, religious discrimination and accommodation in the federal workplace, Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, right, prohibits federal agencies from discriminating against employees or applicants for employment because of their religious beliefs in hiring, firing, and other terms and conditions of employment. The U.S. Department of Labor from there says the Office of Assistant Secretary of the Assistant Secretary for Administration and Management, religious discrimination and accommodation in the federal workplace. Here we go again. Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits federal agencies from discriminating against employees or applicants for employment because of their religious beliefs in hiring, firing, or other terms of and conditions of employment. So, really? Because the President of the United States has mandated that all federal employees be vaccinated or lose their job. Isn't that odd? He gave them no weekly testing option. In fact, some agencies and employers are mandating that employees and contractors have proof of vaccination in order to continue employment or entering buildings or the agencies they control. This, they say, OSHA, right, who oversees safety in the workplace, right, has the ability to enforce, although being vaccinated is not particularly related to enhancing or contributing to working conditions. In fact, vaccinated and unvaccinated people can still get infected and infect others. Biden simply denied federal employees their constitutional right to a religious exemption. Second, It is a violation of the Nuremberg Code. When did gene therapy become synonymous with a vaccine and vaccination? As I said, all it takes is for the powerful ones to decree or declare it so, to simply speak it into existence and add it to a record. Record it to record, right? And it is so. That is how genetic engineering becomes a vaccine. Some have stated that the mRNA vaccines and the spike protein vaccines are not experimental. Yet, this is the first time gene therapy, genetically engineering and stimulating the spike protein to produce an immune response has ever been used. If they are not experimental, where is the long-term data that supports the efficacy and safety of these vaccines? There are none, but scientists say there will be long-term data regarding severe adverse effects in about 2 to 20 years. Some say we are seeing adverse events now, but they're just not being called that. Do we really need a study to figure out that the infected, vaccinated can transmit infection? This is another attempt to demonize and target the unvaccinated. People with comorbidity are at a higher risk, vaccinated or unvaccinated. If you are vaccinated, your reality is you can be infected and infect others, not to what degree someone thinks the infected vaccinated is less infectious than an infected, unvaccinated person. That sounds crazy. That sounds like Abbott and Costello. Anyway, who's on first base? What kind of science is that anyway? Infected is infected. Transmittable is transmittable. In the real world, you don't know who you are going to be infected by, just that you are infected. When you find that out, if you find that out, right? Because you might be asymptomatic. They speak as if it's better to be infected by a vaccinated person than an unvaccinated person. Less chance of getting infected encourages people to take less precautions, which can facilitate a spike in infections. Right? From the Business Insider, they said fully vaccinated people can pass on the Delta variant at home, including to other vaccinated people. Duh, study finds, but unvaccinated people are still at most risk. Does that mean anything to anybody out there that, one dog got more teeth than the other, but they both going to bite the hell out of you? Fully vaccinated people can catch and pass. They said that they came up with this NHS COVID-19 vaccine on center. Holly Adams, right? No, that's from the image. Forget about that. They came up with this. They said that from Dr. Catherine Sister Bruce, hyphenated Bruce, right? She said fully vaccinated people can catch and pass the Delta variant at home on real world data shows, right? Of course, it's real world data. That's the experiment in the real world, right? Vaccines largely protect against severe COVID-19, but don't stop it from spreading entirely. Experts urge people to get vaccinated, have boosters when eligible, and take extra precaution. Fully vaccinated people can catch and pass on the highly infectious Delta variant at home, including to other vaccinated people, but unvaccinated people remain most at risk. Real-world data shows. A study led by Imperial College London and published by The Lancet Infectious Disease said identified 71 people who caught COVID-19 caused by the Delta variant. And they said out of those people fully vaccinated household contacts, 25% caught COVID-19 compared to 38% of their unvaccinated household contacts. So that's 25% caught vaccinated, right? Fully vaccinated people caught COVID-19 out of this bunch, and 38% were unvaccinated, right? That's not a significant enough disparity to feel comfortable with the infected vaccinated having a difference of 13% less than the infected unvaccinated to infect based on this study anyway. This study supports the fact that infected vaccinated people can infect vaccinated and unvaccinated people, and there is not a big difference in infection rates. If anything, this study shows vaccinated people that they are far from viral exemption. Now, I don't even know how to say this guy's name. Ajit Lalbani, chair of infectious disease of Imperial College London, who co-led the study, said in a statement that vaccines were not enough to stop people from getting infected with the Delta variant. This is likely to be the case for other indoor settings where people spend extended periods of time in close proximity, right? Okay, another doctor, Anika Singhania Gam, researcher at Imperial College in London, also co-led the study and said that it was essential for unvaccinated people who remain at risk of severe illness to get a COVID-19 shot. About 3/4 of the people in the UK are fully vaccinated, official data shows. So if unvaccinated, if the unvaccinated are at risk of severe illness, there should be no reports of vaccinated people having severe illness, hospitalization, or dying because they are not at risk of severe illness, hospitalization, or dying. Stop trying to write these things just to promote getting vaccinated. Let people make their own decision. She also said that fully vaccinated people become more susceptible to COVID-19 within a few months after the second vaccine dose. So she, those offered a booster should get it promptly. Well, I guess so, within a few months. She also said the Delta variant was causing high COVID-19 case numbers around the world, even in countries with high vaccination rates. How is that possible? Because they're not in jeopardy. She said continued public health and social measures to curb transmission does remain important, even in vaccinated individuals. So vaccinated people have to conduct themselves the same way unvaccinated people should conduct themselves, which means that you should be testing everyone. If you're looking for a virus, you must test everyone for the virus coming into your building. You shouldn't just be testing unvaccinated, because unvaccinated does not mean infected. I'm tired of saying that. Peter Opishaw, professor of experimental medicine of the Imperial London College, said you have a good chance of not getting infected if you are living with someone with COVID-19, and your chances are better if you have been recently double vaccinated. But if you want to avoid being infected, you still need to do everything you can do to avoid close contact. Wear a mask, wash your hands, 6 feet, whatever. The double talk never ceases. Vaccinated people have a good chance of not getting infected if you live with someone who is infected. Fully vaccinated people become more susceptible to COVID-19 within a few months after getting a second dose, thus encouraging a third shot. And when that shot wanes off, will the rules change again and the goalposts be moved to a fourth shot? To avoid being infected, you still need to do everything you can to avoid close contact. Wear masks, wash your hands, distance, stay out of large crowds and stuff like that, right? And they say, this is not an experiment yet. It has all the trimmings of an experiment. Constantly finding out something you didn't know about the vaccine and finding out what you thought you knew wasn't correct. Constantly changing the narrative, moving the goalposts to correspond with outcomes. How safe can it really be? Yet you need a medical or religious exemption to be exempt from the vaccine mandate, and the religious exemption can be denied if it is deemed a threat to the best interests of the people, which at this juncture appears to be specifically selective. I'm trying to understand this. It's not making sense to me. And the religious exemption can be, that rug can be pulled under your feet. Just somebody just, you know, saying that. Dr. Simon Clark, Associate Professor of Cellular Microbiology at the University of Reading, said, vaccines drive down COVID-19 infections, but we're not a silver bullet. Vaccines are not, I guess, a silver bullet, right? Infection in the wider community can still be amplified by transmission at home. He cautioned that it would be a grave mistake to assume that households were the only place where transmission occurs, right? I mean, I don't think none of us is that stupid, right? Researchers from the Imperial College of London, Manchester, NHS Foundation Trust, and the UK Health Security Agency used the UK Central Contact Tracing System to identify 621 participants and tested them for COVID-19 regardless of symptoms with a lab test. Of the 621 participants, 163 had COVID-19, and 71 of these were caused by the Delta variant, right? So Delta is Bruce Lee kicking his way through the planet, right? Of those infected with Delta, 54% were fully vaccinated, 32% were unvaccinated, and 14% had received one vaccine dose, they said, right? They looked at the number of people infected by the participants at home and the vaccination status of those caught the virus. The study funded by the National Institute for Health Research ran between September the 20th, September the 21st, right? So, this vaccine, I don't know if you caught it or not, but through the legislation, they have managed to create a legislation that looks like it's helping you, but it's cutting you off at the same time. It's giving you an appearance. It's giving you an out. It's cutting some of your options off just by the nature of the legislation. As I said, in the legislation, they only give exemption for medical, right? If this vaccine might harm you, cause you to die, something crazy happened to you, you know, your doctor's going to sign off on that. Hopefully, you got somebody that knows what they're doing, right? Or you got a religious belief that says, hey, this ain't right. This is against God. Right, this is against my faith right here. Oh, wait a minute. Right? So, as you can see, things just keep changing. And, you know, they say it's not a experiment yet. You know, originally when the vaccine came out, they talked about immunity. And immunizing a certain percentage of the population to achieve what they call herd immunity. Only way you can achieve herd immunity is to have a vaccine that can provide protection from infection and immunity. All right, do y'all see where this is going? They give you two options in order for you to eat. Continue eating if you are working for an employer that has 100 or more employees or in contact with an employer who has more than 100 employees, who is mandating, requiring that you be vaccinated. Right? And some of them are also denying you your constitutional right to a religious exemption. Do your own work. Check it out. Don't take my word for it. I'm not the smartest guy on the block. I never claimed to be that. What is the definition of fully vaccinated? CD directives opens the door to potential changes. See that? It said a person isn't considered fully vaccinated until 2 weeks after their second dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine or a single shot of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Being fully vaccinated cuts down on quarantine times and in some parts of the country, it is necessary to hold certain jobs to take part in entertainment, such as indoor dining and tending, right? That's that thing we was talking about, Mark of the Beastess, right? You want to be able to shop, do certain things out, you know, you don't have this certain identification. Not that I'm saying it's the Mark of the Beast, appears to be a precursor, though, because it is definitely Mark of the Beast-ish, especially for the due to the one particular thing that the vaccine does not provide protection against infection and does not provide immunity, which means anyone could be susceptible to this virus. Of course, we know who's more susceptible because of their comorbidities and things like that, right? Now, I'm going to get into all that in a little bit. All right, so the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, said the definition of fully vaccinated could change to require booster doses. In the case of the two-dose vaccination series, a person must receive a second dose of the same vaccine they initially were given. That's what they said, right? Fully vaccinated. However, the CDC has authorized people to choose the vaccine they want to receive as their third dose. What kind of medical science is this? Is this science or is this three card Molly? Because I think I can see me downtown kind of like shifting this thing around. Which vaccine do you want? Moderna? What do you want? Pfizer? Moderna? Where's it at? Pick a card. Where's that? I think I could do that. I mean, what is this? Hey, CDC noted that some people opt to stick to the original vaccine and some may choose to go with a different vaccine for their booster. This is madness. Surgeon General Dr. Vic Murthy echoed Walensky's, right, statement about changing the definition of fully vaccinated. It's the reason why we're having this conversation, right? He acknowledged that it may change over time to require a booster dose to be considered fully vaccinated, but it's not currently a requirement. I heard that before, right? I will not mandate vaccines, right? That's your President Bush, right? I'm not Bush, Biden, right? Sleepy Joe said that. I will not mandate a vaccine. Federal government can't do it, right? His administration is saying that, right? Here we go. Again, Surgeon General. That is changing the narrative or rules, moving the goalposts or the carrot to perpetuate the vaccine experiment agenda, all in the name of your best interests. Think, my people. Think. Citizens Journal. Matt Margolius at the sister site of PJ Media picked up on a very interesting change on the CDC website when it comes to the definitions for vaccine and vaccination. The timing of the change is very interesting. Yeah, that's at the least. He notes that it would appear that the CDC is trying to change how we understand the concept of vaccinations, right? He highlights the definition of terms on August 26, 2021. Immunity, protection from an infectious disease,
if you are immune to a disease, you can be exposed to it without becoming infected. Vaccine, a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, protecting the person from that disease. Vaccines are usually administered through needle injections, but can also be administered by mouth or sprayed into the nose. Vaccination, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Immunization, the process by which a person becomes protected against a disease through vaccination. This term is often used interchangeably with vaccination or inoculation. Man, I don't think they use the term inoculation. I don't. That's like old. That's like, anyway, old's not bad, though. But I haven't heard that inoculation in a minute. That had been their definition since May 16, 2018, according to PJ Media, right? But then they said in September the 1st, there was a big change. Immunity became protection from an infectious disease. If you are immune to a disease, you can be exposed to it without becoming infected. A vaccine, a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against disease. Vaccines are usually administered through the needle's injection, but can sometimes be administered by mouth or sprayed to the nose. Vaccination, an act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease. Immunization, a process in which a person becomes protected against a disease through vaccination. This term is often used interchangeably with vaccination or inoculation. Why are they trying to back off of what the definition used to be? Now they're talking about a vaccine stimulating the immune response, but not to produce immunity. It's a switcheroo right there, right? That's what I call control of the narrative. This is the author saying right here, saying on why they trying to back off from the definition. They switched it to a vaccine stimulates the immune response, but not to produce immunity. Now they're saying a vaccination doesn't produce immunity, but will produce protection, right? So they're backing off of that, right? Now they're saying a vaccine doesn't produce immunity, but will produce protection, right? That's what we get now, right? We get a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease, right? Now I don't know what y'all call protection. But I call protection is not being able to catch it. I'm protected from that dog over there. Like you're in the zoo, you stand right up to the window, and he can't get you. You know what I'm saying? You get that plexiglass between that, 6 inches of plexiglass? You're protected. Nothing can happen. You stand up on 2 gates away from that tiger and a big trench, you're protected. Nothing. Tiger gets nothing. Right? All right. So, we see that occurring, right? It's a title of 7 requires federal agencies to responsibly accommodate the religious beliefs or practices of employees or applicants unless doing so would impose an undue hardship upon the agency. Okay? That's if they're going to honor your religious exemption. Because apparently some agencies are not, and I'm not talking about federal agencies, some agencies are not even honoring religious exemptions, which according to the Constitution, that's unconstitutional. No, religious discrimination, you know, in terms of hiring people and stuff like that, they talked about that, about, well, Basically, protect employees or applicants from discrimination if they do not subscribe to a particular religious view and are atheist. So I'm an atheist. I can get a job as a janitor in the church. No, no, but you don't have to hire me as a priest because, I mean, I'm an atheist, right? Well, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. You didn't hire me as a preacher in your church because I'm a Hebrew Israelite. So there you go. You know, I'm a, you know what I'm saying? So all that makes sense. So, you know, they say you, I think they went through some stuff about that and said and back and forth about, oh, can discriminate or you can't discriminate. Then they went back with some other stuff, but I'm gonna skip past this part because you know we all know you can't discriminate on hiring a person based on their religious belief. And we all work in places where people of many religions, some people who are atheists, right? And we all work together and do the same work. I mean, you can pick up a pencil and paper of regardless of what your belief is or if you believe in a supreme being creator or not. I'm sure you're quite capable of learning how to count money if you're in that situation, communicate with people, find out what the issue is, plan how to address the issue, and help people carry out their plan. So so you can do that. All right? So, you know, we all know that, right? I think we do. You know, I can't say we all because I don't know we all. I guess some of us might not know, but now if you heard that, now you know, right? So undue hardship is accommodation that may cause undue hardship if it is costly, compromises the workplace safety, decreases workplace efficiency, infringes on the rights of other employees, or requires other employees to do more than their share of potentially hazardous, burdensome work. That's very interesting right there. Because when you look at the, getting vaccinated, you might say, this undue hardship on Joe over there and Kareem over there, them two ain't vaccinated. They are. They know that they can still be infected, but those vaccinated people might infect them, which is basically, I guess that's the new racism because it's stupid as hell. It's unscientific because anybody can infect anybody. A vaccinated person, I'm getting tired of holding this conversation on the show. You know, it sounds even stupid for me to just, it's just when I say it, it just sounds stupid. So, you know, like I said, if you want to track infection, you have to track infection on everyone. Because that unvaccinated person could be looking at that vaccinated person and saying, wow, I don't know if they got the virus or not. You know what I mean? And they might be, oh, shoot, and I might, they say I'm at greater risk than them if I catch it, right? So, got people just looking sideways at each other when really, look, ain't no need looking. Just do what the people ask you to do. Wear your mask, keep your distance and all that, whatever you're doing, and keep it moving because you don't know who you're going to catch this stuff from. It might be a fully vaccinated person get you sick. You don't know. He don't even know. They don't even know. The fully vaccinated people don't know. The unvaccinated don't know. You know what I'm saying? There have been chance of people who have been unvaccinated. One of the partners caught COVID. The other one didn't. I've seen people in a household same way. One household, everybody caught COVID. Another household, everybody didn't catch it. So I don't know how that works, but I've seen other viruses work that way. People have colds, you don't catch them. I personally didn't catch it myself, you know, so I don't know. I can't explain that. I'm sure a virologist could get on here and explain that stuff to you in a way you can understand it. I just know from experience that it doesn't mean that you're going to catch it for some viruses that I've been exposed to. And I'm sure a lot of us have been exposed to the common cold and the flu viruses and things like that. right?
Sure. Probably so. Anyway, so that undue hardship, burdensome thing, I'm just wondering if somebody might stretch that into being, oh, I don't want to get sick from the unvaccinated. But that's not even a legitimate undue hardship or burden, because you have to show that that person is infected and in the on the workplace to make that call. So that makes no sense. That's where I'm going with it. But they're running a scenario about unvaccinated people being these disease carriers, like roaches or something like that. So we need to get away from that, because that's misinformation. Anybody, you can catch it from anybody. And you don't know when they're hot, when they're not hot, and all that. That's craziness. Undue hardship may also be shown if the request for accommodation violates the terms of the collective bargaining agreement or job rights established through seniority system. Well, I can't bump somebody else that's been there longer than me. So, all right, I'm gonna skip a lot of that stuff right there, because I want to get to the specifically to the Title VII and religious exemptions, right? So the Civil Rights Act was and still is an epic piece of legislation. Each of its characteristics acts to protect victims of discrimination, although in different ways. Title II, for example, makes it illegal for a place of public accommodation, like hotels, restaurants, movie theaters, to discriminate on the basis of, you know, race, color, religion, national origin, right? Title III prohibits the same sort of discrimination in public facilities run by state or local governments, right? Like courthouses and jails, right? So, all right, so we go on. Let's say Title VII, known to lawyers as 42 U.S.C. 2000E, was a pivot part of the act. It broadly prohibits discrimination in public and private employment due to race, color, religion, sex, and national origin, right? Employers that hire, fire, or harass people based on these criteria can face lawsuits by victims, as well as persecution by the Department of Justice and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, right? The EEOC, right? It does not apply to all foreign employers or employers with fewer than 15 employees. Most significantly, for our purpose, it does not apply fully to religious employees, right? The first question has been definitely answered. The original 1964 Act exempted religious employers only for employee positions that were religious, right? So, like I said, you know, if I'm at a Baptist church, you're imam, you can't apply for that job. You're imam, and vice versa, right? That makes sense, right? Okay, religious exemption, the law. Summary. On May 11, 2016, children's rights, constitutional law, and vaccine exemptions, freedom of religion, parental rights, school immunization requirements. As y'all know, the schools require that children receive their immunizations in order to attend school, right? The federal constitution does not require a religious exemption, they say, right? Parental rights and religious freedoms do not overcome a child's welfare, right? Neutral, generally applicable laws can be applied even to those with religious opposition, right? A state Religious Freedom Restoration Act can be overcome by subsequent legislation, and hence does not prevent abolishing the religious exemption either. That's what I call double talk. In addition, at least one case suggested preventing infectious disease is a compelling state interest. All right? This is where it gets ugly for you unvaccinated people, and the vaccinated people, because I guess you're looking at people's side. Depends on your attitude about being vaccinated or unvaccinated.
Neutrally, generally, applicable laws can be applied even to those with religious opposition, right? So translation, the only religious exemption you have is the religious exemption they, the powerful ones, allow you to have. The powerful ones are the people who have the ability to create laws to support their agenda, the people who decide what is best or in your best interest. The religious exemption you do have can be taken away by the stroke of a pen or legislation. For example, Biden passed a vaccine mandate to force unvaccinated working people to get vaccinated or risk discriminatory taking of COVID-19 tests weekly or loss of employment. And it's discriminatory because anybody can be infected with COVID-19. You're only going to test. They recommend that you get tested because you're not vaccinated. That's BS. That's unscientific, and that is harassment. It's unconstitutional. Rather, this is right or wrong. Biden had the power to dictate the mandate and enforce or mandate sanctions on employers. Note, some states repelled this mandate, citing it as unconstitutional, mandating that this mandate be disregarded. No individual at ground zero or employee in a business of more than 100 employees have the power to rescind, repel, or disregard this mandate, or do they? Amazon has not forced the vaccine rollout for fear of loss of employees and keeping operations running in short, losing money, right? All but two major airlines have announced vaccine mandates. Okay? Biden has empowered employees to subject employees to this vaccine mandate. Receive the jab or lose your job for some. Other entities have followed suit in mandating that employees and contractors be vaccinated if they want to keep their job. You want to eat? You want to feed your kids? Take the jab. The powerful ones, corporations, interest groups, government have the power to influence and create legislation to support their agenda. The people are thus subjected to the decisions of the powerful ones. This scenario is exacerbated when the powerful ones do not have their best interests in mind and are incompetent. This is taxation without representation, one of the pillars of the Revolutionary War. Parental rights and body autonomy should supersede any vaccine mandate, particularly when the safety of the vaccine is questionable. Safety of genetic engineering in animals and plants is dangerous to plant, insect, animal, and human life. Do your own research. How could genetic engineering and human beings be safe? Oddly enough, scientists disagree on the science regarding the safety of the vaccine and genetic engineered plants. Right? Vaccine makers, government use the testimony of scientists and medical professionals who agree that the vaccine is safe to support their claim of safety. That's not ruling out. That's not how you rule something out, just so you know. I mean, everybody know how you rule something out? You want to test something, you got to test something that's against you, not something, anything that's for you. The yes men, they're not helping you get stronger. You want to test your kung fu, you got to fight. You got to be in front of some resistance. That's for my seafood. Parents made aware of the severe adverse effects of the vaccines will naturally choose to act on behalf of the welfare of the child. When you are in a dictatorship, your concerns, evidence, expert witnesses, dissenting opinions mean nothing. Your safety is dictated to you, not driven by science. The truth is, what you are told the truth is. Safety is what is dictated to be safe. What is in your child's best interest is what is in the best interest of the agenda of the powerful ones or the gods of this world. Tyrannical restraints and assaults are mandated to create fear, suffering that will make getting the jab a relief from the vicious jaws of tyranny and oppression. In short, the powerful ones will make you so uncomfortable that you will take the jab to have a roof over your head, heat and food in your stomach, medical care for your family. They went on to say that limits on the scope of applications for religious exemptions are most courts rule that you cannot limit the exemption to organized religion. Right? I mentioned that in the beginning, right? Legislation did not require that you show a show of sincerity for religious exemption. You don't have to be a devout Muslim. You might not pray five times a day on the job. You know what I'm saying? You don't do that. You might not be wearing full garb. So you might be from the holiness church. You might not pray when you sit down and eat your food, whatever. You know, you might think that person should do in that religion. You don't have to be showing all that, right? Belonging to a religion that supports vaccine does not mean someone can be denied an exemption. Focus on personal belief, not orthodoxy, right? Is a religious exemption a good idea? These are things for religious exemption. Respect for religion's values and religion's freedoms. As long as numbers small enough does not undermine herd immunity, little or no risk, right? Excuse me. Against religious exemption, unfair to put child at risk because parents' religious beliefs, child did not choose a religion. Jurisprudence makes it possible to limit numbers of those using exemptions, very hard to police. So does undermine herd immunity and creates risk. There is no herd immunity, because we have no immunity. No mainstream religion opposes vaccination. So you know I had something to say about that, right? But first, this herd immunity thing. For religious exemption, herd immunity is not being undermined because there is no herd immunity because the COVID-19 vaccines do not provide immunity. Immunity is necessity to achieve herd immunity. The vaccine claim to reduce symptoms, risk, or reduce risk of hospitalization and risk of death. The vaccine does not prevent infection, hospitalization, or death, and therefore does not provide immunity. Religion, it's odd that any authority expects a holy book written maybe 3,400 to 1,900 years ago, 1,382 years or 3,313 years ago to address vaccination. That's ludicrous. Organized religions are interpreted by men. Personal religions are interpreted by the individual. Fact is, there is no religion in the Torah, the Bible, or the Quran, just a way of life, just people submitting to the will of the Creator. These books provide a guide of how to live. If you want to use them as references to, rather than it advocate taking the COVID-19 vaccine, you know what I'm saying? That's what you're using for, guides on how to live, not as a reference to whether or not it advocates taking the COVID-19 vaccine. That's kind of a ludicrous statement. Anyway, I took a shot at that. Genesis 1:29 says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be meat. Genesis 2:16-17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There is no reference of genetic engineering or vaccines in the scriptures because they are not prescribed sources to support and preserve the life of man according to the scriptures. According to Genesis, man is instructed what to eat to live and what not to eat. Not even fish was prescribed in Genesis in the beginning. In short, eat what is good for you to sustain your life, right? Do what is good for you to sustain your life. In fact, it goes on to say, man had to be forbidden to take from the tree of life, lest he live forever. That is how good the eating was. Genesis 3:22-3:24. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden, and a flaming sword was turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. The Creator does not instruct or encourage man to vaccinate or genetic engineer anything. The only one doing anything with creation is the Creator, the genetic engineer of life. Looking for holy books to specifically say something against mRNA vaccine is ridiculous. This is like handbooks instructions for the fuel in your automobile that states unleaded gas only, but doesn't say anything about putting diesel fuel in it. And you assume that diesel fuel is an appropriate function option because it is not mentioned in the handbook. Whatever the tree of good and evil is, man has taken a hefty bite out of its fruit. Genetic engineering or altering violates the natural sequence and boundaries set in place by the Creator. One of the pillars of an individual's organized or personal religion is self-preservation, the objection to be genetically experimented on or alter would be in line with their so-called religion or belief if remotely related to the story of the beginnings in the Torah, the Old Testament, and the Quran. Self-preservation, that an individual acts upon information they have. Self-preservation requires that an individual acts upon information they have been informed of, especially if that information comes from a reliable source. You can go back to that story about Adam and Eve. They would have preserved themselves if they had acted upon the information that they had received. Don't mess with that. Bam, right? Okay? So, if the information revealed states that the genetically derived mRNA vaccine places their health and life at risk of illness, hospitalization, or death, they have a responsibility to preserve their life, the life of those who are dependent upon them, the life of their brothers and sisters in humanity, and the ecosystem. Man, today, like Adam and Eve of antiquity, have been informed of the severe adverse effects of disobedience and ignoring what has been made known to them. The men of Earth have turned a blind eye to the serious adverse effects of the COVID-19 vaccines, as many have warned. If genetic engineering is the new way of treating disease, we are truly doomed. The Creator holds each individual responsible for his own decisions and actions. That is why mankind has a will, the ability to defy the Creator and defile creation based on your knowledge and desire. There is a saying, study to show thyself approved. That means you are responsible for knowing and acting upon what you know. It is your responsibility to seek information, seek the truth, and to use it to preserve life, to live life, to knowingly place life at risk for said benefits that outweigh the risk when the risk is illness, hospitalization, and death is an attack on the sanctity and sanity of all mankind and creation. That is a man that knows and yet does evil, or knows the truth and perpetuates illness and death. Fear without facts is simply a chaotic emotion, void of direction due to the absence of information. Like sheep, those who are fearful and uninformed can be more easily led. Their minds can be easily influenced. Their will can be bent to the will of the powerful ones, those who come in peace and bring destruction. Anti-life science is a science that is anti-creator or creation. That would make anti-life science and supporters anti-God or the adversary of God, the creator. The genetic sequence serves a divine purpose. Men who seek to disrupt the divine sequence are hardly acting in concert with the divine being. We must remember, man did not create himself. He is a created being. Being created means man and all things have a creator. Man's attempt to manipulate creation, the divine sequence, be it gainful function or genetic engineering, is a reckless assault on all of God's creation. It is an attempt at being God. Revelation 12:7-9 says, and I'm saying this because last I heard of an entity wanting to be God, it didn't go so well. So here's a story of antiquity from Revelation 12:7-9. It talks about a war that was in heaven, and Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Yet, for every red flag of caution that is waved, there is someone who disputes its validity or disputes the truth of what has been evidenced and spoken. And hence, the deceivers of the world. From the World Press, new evidence that toxic spike protein component of COVID-19 vaccines can spread into organs. Brett Weinstein, right? That's from the World Press. Anyway, of course, you know what happened with this shit. Despite protein of the COVID vaccines are not, as previously believed, remain fixed at the injection site, but in fact can get into the blood and as a result can cause serious medical problems, including death. Who cares? It seems like nobody cares. And I'm saying all this because what do you mean religious exemption? What is going on that a person is not able to use this scientific evidence to be exempted from any vaccine? Hey, this might harm me. It's proof that this is all scientific evidence saying that this thing is going to harm me. They just ruled that out. That's what I'm trying to say about in the beginning, where it appear to be to come in peace. Okay, you can, if it's going to harm you medically or religious exemption, but you can't say, I have information that this will harm me. I got to be medically ill for this to impact on me. I have something wrong with me, and therefore I can't, my body won't take the vaccine, or I have to have a religious reason, which you can just pull the rug from under me if you like, if you deem it the situation to be, hey, no, because you got to get this vaccine, because if you don't, the whole world's going to continue to be sick and die just because of you not vaccinated, which is not scientific. Unvaccinated does not mean infected. Like I said, for my own selfish reasons, I hope that the vaccine is not as bad as the people who say that it is harmful. I hope that it doesn't have the devastation that they say that it has. You know, and I, you know, anyway, a biodistribution study, the Canadian professor, Brian Brittle, right? He's the one that said this about the spike protein might be harmful, right? Indicated that the spike protein travels to bone marrow, liver, adrenal glands, ovaries. Remember, I don't know if y'all heard about these ladies having these problems, menstrual, spleen, heart, and brain. Noted, obviously, an important question. Here is the probability of it getting into the blood. And having done that, the probability of it causes serious damage. Well, I've been getting into the bone marrow. That's where the blood is made at, right? Is that right? Bone marrow, the blood made in the blood, in the bone marrow or something like that? How'd that go? Anyway. They went on to talk about how they feel that they are being censored. I am disgusted but not surprised to find that you two have decided that they know better than the scientists mentioned here and that you should not be allowed to hear what these scientists have to say. I am leaving, and they left a link for you to look at. Right? Check this out for yourself, Brian Biddle, right? https://youtube.be/capital A capital B capital G or this is like 1TZO541. Interview with Alex Pearson, right? You can just look up Dr. B-R-B-Y-R-A-M-B-R-I-D-D. Interview with Alex Pearson, P-I-E-R-S-O-N, right? If you want to check it out. He's pro-vaccine, but acknowledged during the presentation he gave to a COVID-19 symposium earlier this year that recorded breaking vaccine development was achieved through cutting corners. They said, now, I just dropped something off the internet to say they didn't cut corners. What they did was they ran an animal and a human trials together. That's not what you're supposed to do. So we are lacking information about the COVID-19 vaccine that was always available for previous vaccines. In conclusion, he said, we are inoculating people with a toxin. We made a big mistake. I'm just hoping that mistake's not the biggest this guy's saying it is, him and the rest of these guys, Apatar, Christina Parks, and I'm not saying that they're wrong. I believe what they're saying. I just hope that this accident, many of us can survive it. That's all. I guess that's what I'm saying. If we have to die, I understand that. But I hope that many of us can survive this accident, because we are, according to these brothers and sisters, we are on a train. Scheduled to crash. Of course, there's somebody who's disputing this guy. I guess they're calling him a quack. Enough of that. Stop calling people quacks. Get down with the science. What does the science say? What is their science saying? that yours isn't. Because we should be concerned about the people who say it's not safe. You don't have to worry about the people that say it's safe, but you have to worry about the people who say it's safe when you have people saying it's not safe. Now you got to question the people who say it's safe. Hold up. What science are you using that you don't see what they see? What's your motivation? So, of course, as I said, this has been disputed. Even had a thing with something with Joe Rogan. It said Joe Rogan episode from 23rd of June with Dr. Brett Weinstein and Dr. Perry Corey. Primary covering ivermectin and also vaccine safety. It said that ivermectin has been shown to show signs of being effective as a treatment for people affected by the COVID vaccines. All the more reason why we desperately need health authorities to stop doing whatever they are doing to ignore or suppress ivermectin. I don't know if you caught that or not. It says ivermectin has also shown signs of being effective as a treatment for people affected by the COVID vaccines. The vaccines, not the virus. Information and evidence provided by Dr. Malone, creator of the mRNA technique, Dr. Christine Park, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Montague or something, I forgot how to say his name, and many others is deemed insufficient evidence for refusing to take the jab. You can't even use that scientific evidence to say, hey, you taking that? Crazy. You can't even use that. Then again, it's not really... It's simply not included as a reason for exemption for receiving the vaccine. It is written out of the scenario. You understand what I'm saying? That's a minute ago. That is evil genius and not coincidence that the scientific reason for not getting the jab is non-existent. Do you understand the words that's coming out of my mouth? Medical, religious, but you can't have a scientific reason. And it's supposed to be about science. That's not a reason. It is evident that government is not being influenced and controlled by the people. I don't think none of us probably ever thought that. It is treason. Most high treason, blackmail, rape, mental, spiritual, and body, forced experimentation. The mRNA COVID-19 vaccines aren't vaccines in the medical and legal definition of a vaccine. They do not prevent you from getting the infection, nor do they prevent its spread. They're really experimental gene therapies. From the Citizens Journal, Matt Margolis. Oh, no, we already did that. We ain't going to go back over that again. We ain't going back over there, too. They said, I forgot to talk from Thomas Massey said about the evolution of the... Vaccine. Ministry of Truth says here, top of vaccine, pre-2015, injection of a killed or weakened infectious organism in order to prevent a disease. Vaccination, 2015-2021, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Vaccination, September 2021, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease. This implies that the powerful ones have been planning to use mRNA or spike protein genetic engineering treatment as a vaccine. Then we get hit by COVID-19 in 2020. Hell of a coincidence and an excellent example of the pen being mightier than the sword. I think we had that conversation on before. I mean, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual wickedness in high places. I believe the shoe fits. It looks like it's going to take an intervention from the Creator to go against these devils. If prayer without works is dead, I suggest you pray while in battle against spiritual wickedness. Genetically engineered foods get a red flag. But who's mining this project? Right? I don't know if you guys know. I think the European Union, they don't even allow genetically modified engineered foods in their country. Right? So I'm just going to give you the short version because I'm running out of time. And the short version is, if genetically engineering food, animals, our plants, is dangerous to our ecosystem, it kills the ecosystem, right? All right? I said that gene pollution can never be cleaned up. New living organisms, bacteria and viruses will be released into the environment to reproduce, migrate, and mutate. Now, that's what the brothers were saying about this leaky vaccine. It will help the virus mutate. The effects of genetic mistakes are irreversible and irretrievable. I don't have much time left, you understand, but I'm just saying this to say, here in the United States, genetic food is a lot of that going on. And they know it's dangerous. They said these products are not being thoroughly tested before they arrive on grocery store shelves. They are being tested on us. So if you, I got a caller. I'm sorry. I don't even know how long you've been there. 50-20. I give you about 3 minutes.
No, just calling to say good show tonight. And for those, I just got in. So.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just think that the people that really are paying attention to what's going on, we have to have a little bit of patience for those who are not paying attention, or even for those who are getting the information, because you talked about, you know, people being fearful and not having information.
Right.
When you're fearful, even when people give you information, you can turn away from it.
Right.
I mean, that's just some. So you'll find people who, and you may even know some, that are fearful, and even when they get the information, they'll reject it.
Right.
No matter how much sense it makes. And one of the things that's happening that I've never seen really before, people are doing things that will harm themselves just to try to be proven right. There are people who are taking things that are giving them Bell's palsy. There's a woman who had 3 bone surgeries after she had the first shot, and she says she's going to take the second one. Because maybe this doesn't have anything to do with it. Because people have to be right now so bad and so hard that they will literally risk their life just to say, I was right. Wow. I've never seen that before.
Wow.
I have never seen that before. People are having loved ones die and say, well, maybe it wasn't, that's not what it was, and I'll take it again if I want, you know, if I had to, and that kind of thing, just to not be wrong.
Right.
Never seen that before in my life.
Hmm. Well. And that's it.
So it's just, I think we have to try to have patience for these, for people, especially older people, because they're very, they're pliable. I mean, there's a lot of times they listen to, you know, what's on TV. They sit around and watch TV all day, CNN and that kind of thing. I think, and a lot of people are fighting for that, their parents and their grandparents. They're trying to get them to understand, but it's very, very difficult. So, you know, sometimes we just have to have a level of understanding if we can, and then just, you know, and not get in arguments over this.
Right, definitely that. I agree with that.
Don't do arguments over this. Bring, if you're wrong people, don't bring it up. If they don't want to hear it.
That's right.
Or
that's
they
right.
Down with it, let them that's do right. what they do. Right? Because in
correct.
The end,
that's
time is going to tell all.
Right.
We're going to know what's going on. It looks like probably, I'm sure, within the next year. And then probably sometime this winter.
Right.
We're going to know what, you know, what's what. So time is going to tell all. So there's really no need to get an argument.
That's right. That's true. That's true. And, you know, especially you're right. If they don't want to hear, you know, like they say, let those that have ears, you know, hear. And those that don't want, don't force it on them. That's right. That's true. That's, and you know what? Words of wisdom at the end of the show. That's, and you know what? Thank you. Because I know I was going to soapbox a little bit.
No, it's just, we got to try to get through this thing. And if things turn bad, then, you know, we just, like you said, we got to have a little bit of wisdom on this plan. Really,
right.
You know, if things turn bad, we got to have we got to have some wisdom on this. We're going to try to make it through it. Right?
Okay. That's right. And on that note, I want to thank you for calling in and all the listeners.
No problem.
And you guys remember, each one reach one, each one teach one. And please be patient with one another in these times of peril. And we are living in times of peril. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones. Until next week, y'all. Peace.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme
song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.